Amen. What a blessing that song was. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 3 this morning. Acts chapter 3. Thankful for the choir, thankful for the vocal group, participants that practice and really do prepare our hearts for what the Lord will do in us and through us. So continue to pray for them because they do put a lot of effort and work into what they do, and it does help us a lot, and it does praise our Lord. Amen. All right, so we're in Acts chapter 3, and while you're turning there, I'll just tell you, yesterday we went to an event over the other side of town, and we're driving back, and I heard an ambulance coming up behind us. And I don't know about you, but I stress out whenever I hear an ambulance coming up behind us, because I'm like, I want to make sure I'm in the right lane, I want to make sure I get out of the way, all that sort of stuff. But more than that, it made me consider what I would do in a medical situation. It made me think, you know, these people are trained and they're professionals and they can pretty much handle any medical situation that they encounter. But I've done first aid course, CPR course, all that for the past 8 or 9 years, through the school and all that sort of stuff. Don't ask me to be the first aid officer, because I kind of forget everything that I've learned after I've learned it. I pass the test, I get my certificate, I'm certified, but if you ask me what to do when someone gets bitten by a snake, I'm I don't know, ask this guy. I have no idea. I kind of forget all that stuff. It just goes out the window. So it made me think, what would I do in a situation? What can I offer in a situation that is critical? And we're going to see a little bit of that here. We're going to see someone who is in need of something and then someone who can offer something. And obviously Alvin just read the passage that we're looking at in Acts chapter 3 here. So we're going to get into it this morning and just see what we can learn from this passage here today. And a little bit of background. So Acts chapter 2, Peter and John had just been part of Pentecost, which was a major turning point in how the word of God was delivered unto people. And they were being used greatly to introduce people to a relationship with God. And verse 41 in Acts chapter 2, you don't have to look there, but it says there that approximately 3,000 people were saved on that one day. 3,000 people, that's incredible, coming to know the Lord as their Savior. And the apostles and those following them, they continued in unity, and the Lord continued to add to the church. And then we get into Acts chapter 3, where we are this morning. And I just read the first verse here. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." So Peter and John come to the temple with Acts chapter 2 and everything that happened in Acts chapter 2 behind them. So they're coming off the back of seeing 3,000 people saved, seeing the Lord do a mighty work, and this is how they're coming into the temple. And notice here they actually come at a specific time. It says that they come at the hour of prayer. So they're coming for a specific reason. They're coming to pray. They're coming to continue their relationship with the Lord and to commit things unto Him. And then in verse number 2, it says this, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So here we're introduced to a lame man. So lame basically means that he could not walk. He could not use his feet or his legs. He was bound to not be able to use them. And from his mother's womb. So he's actually 40 plus years old. And we see this because in chapter 4, verse 22, it tells us that later on in the story. So he's been lame for 40 plus years, his whole entire life. And so he's being brought to the temple with his whole life behind him. So Peter and John are coming to the temple with Acts chapter 2 behind them, the Lord doing a mighty work. And this man is being brought unto the temple with his whole life of, I've been lame from my mother's womb, not able to walk and not able to do much of my own accord. That's how he's coming into this temple. And he's actually come for at a specific time. When's that? The hour of prayer. But he's come for a specific reason. And it says to ask alms of the people. Now, alms is basically compassion or a donation to the poor. So something you can give to someone to help them in their situation. So he's sitting at the gate of the temple with all these people coming in and out, and he's asking, hey, can you help me? Hey, can you give me something? And he's doing that for a specific reason. But notice in verse number 2, it says that this man was lame from his mother's womb who was carried, whom they laid daily. Who laid him there? I wonder if you've ever thought about that. Who laid this man there daily, day after day? Was it his friends? Was it his family members? He wasn't laying himself there. He had to be brought there. He had to be carried there. Probably two people had to carry him there. So this man was definitely in need of help. However, to be brought to the place where most people attend every single day for years and years, this was perhaps more of a job born out of necessity than it was a daily need for him to be there. So he's been brought there by some other people and he's asking alms, and it's just what he does. It's just his daily life now. It is his life. So he had to be brought there, which means it wasn't up to him how often he was at the temple. Now you could argue maybe he said, you know, bring me to the temple every single day. But I would put to you that probably it was more on the people bringing him that were deciding how often he was at the temple. So we can actually see that this man was barely in control of his own life. So this man was actually bound by his life circumstances. He was in a day-to-day routine of doing the same thing over and over, one that actually kept him alive, but it actually didn't help his situation. He wasn't actually bettered by it. And yeah, he got money every, you know, maybe every day, maybe, but his situation never changed. And then we see in verse number 3, we see it says this, who seeing Peter and John, so he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now you and I, we look at Peter and John, or we hear about Peter and John, and particularly Peter, and we go, super Christian, top guy, like, you know, has the best Christian walk out there kind of thing, and very much used by God. And we see in Acts chapter 2, you know, he was used in Pentecost to get 3,000 people saved and all that sort of stuff. But this guy didn't see Peter and John like that. He didn't see Peter and John as anyone special or that they even had anything special to offer him. How do we know that? Well, because he only asked an alms of them. He only asked, can you just give me a few bucks? He didn't ask, can you do anything else more for me? He just asked for a few dollars. And so that's how he saw Peter and John. He wasn't even looking at those he was asking of, because in verse 4 it says that Peter told him to look on us. So this man most likely is laying at the gate of the temple and probably just off in a distance in his mind, just going, can I have some money? Can I have some help? And like not even really looking at who he's asking of. Yeah, he saw Peter and John approaching the temple, but I think that was more like I can just see people are coming, so now I know to ask. But he wasn't actually looking at them, interested in them. He just saw them as an opportunity to get a few extra dollars. It's almost as if he didn't expect much response from people. And really, he's very seasoned in doing this. He actually knows rejection more than anything. I mean, if you've ever even tried to hand out tracts maybe in the city or, you know, I don't know, at a train station or something like that, you know, really, you get rejected a whole lot more than you get accepted. And so when you're someone who's been sitting at this same place day in, day out for 40 plus years, you become part of the furniture. You become missed. Oh, yeah, he'll be there tomorrow. Maybe I'll give him some money if I have some tomorrow. And so this man actually knows rejection probably more than anyone. And so someone in this situation doesn't often get their hopes up. In fact, they actually can get their heart hardened by that continual rejection. And so in verse number 4 here, it says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And we notice immediately the contrast in attention between this lame man and between Peter. So the lame man is barely even taking notice of those he's asking of, and yet Peter and John's attention is consumed by this man, fastening his eyes. That's not just a quick glance. That's not a peripheral vision. That's a, I am looking at you. I am looking at who you are. I am looking at your situation. I am understanding your need. That's what fastening his eyes meant. He was locked in. He was looking into this man's life. In other words, Peter took the time to notice him amidst many other people. You know, if this was me, I would probably just walk right past him. Just being honest. I mean, if I was Peter or John, and I'd just come off the back of having seen 3,000 people saved, I'm like, you know what? I've done some of the Lord's work. I've been used. And I'm on my way to doing another spiritual activity. So, you know, if this guy actually needed some help, then why doesn't he just ask for the help that he wants? That's probably how I would justify it. And maybe you would be the same. And that's the problem. As a Christian, I can expect those that are lost and those that have no hope to specifically ask me for the hope that they don't have and that they don't know how to get. And so I'm expecting that of the lost. I can use that as justification for not taking the time to notice people. But Peter actually took the initiative here. He's saying something really smart. He says, look on us. Turn your attention to what you're used to. Turn your attention to what you're familiar with. And maybe turn your attention from what you're actually probably strangely comfortable with onto something else, onto something a little bit more. Verse number 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You know, Peter's words grabbed this man's attention because he looked up at them expecting to get something of them. So Peter got his attention. And then in verse 6, the first part of verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Essentially, Peter is saying here, I don't have what you're asking for. And I can imagine the confusion on this man's face. You mean, you're telling me to look on you, you're giving me an expectation that you're going to give me something, and then you draw me out of my comfort zone, and then you let me down by saying you don't have what I'm asking for? How confusing is that? You know, Peter's sentiment was not, if I had silver or gold, then that's what I'd give you. But his sentiment was, any silver or gold I have is not actually going to help you the way you need to be helped. It's not that Peter didn't have access to any silver or gold. He did have access, but he was saying that anything I have is not actually going to help you. Any money that I can give you is not going to solve your situation. Peter's statement is actually forcing this hopeless and helpless man to consider his very real need. He's basically saying what you've been chasing and what you've been working for and what you've been focusing on is not going to fulfill you. In fact, it hasn't fulfilled you for the past 40-odd years. And you know it. Yes, he's brought there every single day. He knows that getting a few extra bucks is not going to change his situation. You see, most people reach that point of understanding that there's more to life than what they currently know. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you've reached that point and you've gone beyond it. You understand that there's more than what you're familiar with. But the problem is with most people, they don't know anything about what that something more is or how to have it. It's not really that they ever forget about that something more, but they can get busy, they can get distracted, they can get focused on other things. They can get comfortable trying to fill that gap with other things. And inevitably, time just moves on. And our society and this world will only be able to offer temporary solutions. And silver and gold were this man's temporary solution. Now, I want you to imagine that you have a friend that's not a Christian, someone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this friend has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. They're in hospital. They've had test after test. They've met with all kinds of doctors and specialists. And the outcome of all these things that there's nothing that can be done for them. No amount of treatment, no amount of surgery will cure what they have. It's a pretty bad situation. They're left with no solutions, and more importantly, they're left with no hope. You know, this world will offer its hope, but this world's hope is infinitely less, or infinitely falls short of the Christian's hope. Now, you may have seen this before, and I've seen it many times on brochures and billboards and websites, etc. The world's way to help people going through difficult time, it's an acronym of the word HOPE. And it stands for Hold On, Pain Ends. That's what the world will offer in a serious time of need. Just hold on, because pain ends. This is from a life coach website that I found that uses this very acronym. It says this: try this out anytime that you find yourself longing for an experience or situation to end. Even when you are doing all you can to improve your mind, body, and soul, you may lose hope while waiting for change to come. If that happens, take a few deep breaths, think that impermanence is part of the life, and use this acronym, Hold On, Pain Ends. Repeat as necessary. That's what the world will give you in terms of hope. And there's another way of saying hold on, pain ends. This statement, everything will be okay. Everything will be just fine. And we all know that there's actually zero comfort in that statement. We know that there's zero hope in that statement. As a Christian, you enter your friend's hospital room knowing that the doctors and the specialists have much more knowledge than you about the situation. And so you'll find yourself that you actually can't give any hope to your friend with any knowledge that you have. And perhaps you have thousands upon thousands of spare dollars that you can spend on whatever you want, but there's actually no surgery, no treatment that you can actually pay for to help your friend in this situation. So your money even cannot provide any hope for them in this situation. It's a little bit like saying, silver and gold have I none. So what hope can you offer in a situation like this? Well, the only real hope in any hopeless situation is what you can offer. The power that is found in the name of Jesus Christ. Exactly what Peter gave this lame man of 40 plus years. Have a look here, verse number 6 again. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This man responded to the hope that was offered through Jesus Christ. You might say, oh, how do we know that he actually responded? Didn't Peter just pull him up? Yeah, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says Peter took him by the right hand, but he accepted Peter's invitation to rise. Have you ever tried to pull someone up that is like a dead weight on the ground? It's almost impossible. And this man's a 40-year-old man. And yeah, his feet don't work, but he's still a man. So this man actually accepted Peter's offer of Jesus Christ's help. He accepted being brought up and receiving strength in his feet. And by doing this, he immediately received what Peter offered. He could now do something he hadn't been able to do his whole life. He could walk. He could use his feet. He could decide where he went. He was free from being bound to his old life. He was literally a new man. Look at verse number 8. It goes on to say, "And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." The power of Jesus Christ in this man's life did more than just a physical change. He now had zero need to trust in what he previously trusted in. He was quite literally walking away from the place that he'd occupied for so long. There was no need to sit there. There was no need to beg there. No need to rely upon false hope. His focus and purpose had completely changed. His focus was now on praising God, the God that set him free, the God that he was introduced to by one person who saw his need and offered him the only hope that would actually change his life. So, you're sitting in the hospital next to your non-Christian friend. They're dying. And your concern for them is much greater than their passing. It's that in their current state, when they do pass, they will remain eternally separate from God and from heaven. Their body is deteriorating, but their soul is sick with sin. The sin that has actually separated them from God. You know, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, came down to earth. He lived a sinless life. He willingly died on the cross for all of mankind to pay the price of being separated from God. He was buried. Then he rose from the dead. Why did he rise from the dead? To give hope to anyone that trusts in him that there is life after death. Through what? Through the power of his name. This is the hope that you can offer them, being reconciled unto God, having eternal life. You know, all other hope will fail because all other hope is actually based on temporal things, things that don't last beyond this life. And we know that this hope is available to offer to every single person, regardless of their situation, not just the one that is in hospital. To the perfectly healthy person that you know as well. Everyone has the same need. Everyone has the same emptiness in their life. Everyone has the same hole in their life. And Jesus Christ is the perfect fit for that emptiness. You know, in our story here in Acts, after this man's life was changed, Peter actually met with some opposition from some of the religious leaders of the day. They weren't happy that he was offering hope through Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. And if you flick over to Acts chapter 4, I love Peter's response to this opposition in verses number 10 and 12. Acts 4 verse 10 says this, this is Peter speaking, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Verse number 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What's he saying in verse 12? He's saying there is no other hope. There is no other way. There is no other solution. He's saying if silver and gold were the solution, then that's what he would bring. But silver and gold is not the solution. Jesus Christ is the solution. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're a Christian here this morning, let the word of God encourage you to fasten your eyes on those around you. Take notice of others. Take notice of the situation they find themselves in. Take notice of their life. Take notice of what they're struggling with. Take notice that they have an emptiness in their heart. Let the word of God encourage you in that. And then you can offer them the only hope that will last. The only hope that will save, the hope in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you'd say that you're not a Christian, or you're unsure if you are a Christian, maybe you're more like this lame man that we read about. Or maybe you're more like the friend in the hospital. You're alive, but not really living. You're trusting in things or ideas that you know ultimately won't help, looking for a real hope, looking for a solution to the emptiness inside. You know, the Word of God encourages you today that your need can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you might be thinking, I feel like I need to know a little bit more about that. I feel like that kind of sums me up a little bit. Well, we'd be more than happy to help you with that. Now, when the service is done in just a minute, you can come and see myself, or you can see anyone else that you've seen up on the stage here this morning, or you can fill out one of our connection cards and we can be in touch with you about that. But here's the thing, this is my last statement and then we're done. God knows that He is the hope that everyone needs. However, God will never force Himself on anyone. So He is the answer. He is the way to eternal life, but He will never force that on you. It's up to us to respond to Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, Lord God, that Your word can show us many things that we have a need of, Lord God. We thank You, Father, that You have the answer to them. Lord, I do pray that You'd please help each of us this morning. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, I pray You'd help us to look on other people around us with this same sentiment that Peter did, Lord. I pray You'd help us to look into their lives and to see how we can introduce them to the hope that is found in Your name. Lord, I pray that You would also help those who are searching, those who are unsure of their state before You, Lord. I pray that You would guide them and direct them unto You. I pray You would do a mighty work in their hearts, Lord God, and help them to find that hope that is found in You. Lord, we thank You for being with us today. We thank You for Your goodness, and Lord, we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.